Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And Doc, we are wrapping up with this broadcast series that we began entitled Cultivating a Missionary Heart. And to help us with this, we couldn't have had a better guest host than the one God sent to us, John Zimmer. And John, what a joy it's been to have you on the broadcast. And I know our listeners have been blessed as they've heard about your ministry to Palau and just kind of hear how God moved in your heart and how God directed your feet and how God has been using you there on that island to bring many, many worshipers to Him. And that's kind of where we were when we ended the last broadcast, kind of walking our way through the great missionary chapter in Romans, Romans chapter 15, where we've learned that God appointed the Apostle Paul to be a priest with a special service, the service of the gospel. And that service was to have as its objective the bringing of sacrifices to God. And that sacrifice, in essence, was people. And you had a verse that you read to us that really kind of captured the extent to where God will go and send people to bring this kind of an offering. He doesn't just want it from Jerusalem, and He doesn't just want it from that part of the world. In fact, the Great Commission, and certainly Acts 1:8, reminds us that He wants it from the uttermost parts of the earth. And God certainly did send you to one of those uttermost parts.
Yeah, and that verse is Isaiah 66:19, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And God's passion is that every tribe would hear the gospel, and that there would be worshipers from every place around the world. And what a joy it is to be part of that plan.
God is seeking worshipers who will come and worship in spirit and in truth. And, you know, in order for that to happen, Doc, we were talking as we ended the broadcast about the incredible, awesome, huge mission that God had given to Paul. And you were talking about the word latergale after we finished the broadcast in terms of the priestly service. Mm-hmm. How is a person going to accomplish that? I mean, that's a huge task.
Well, it's obedience to what God has commanded. What God commands, God enables and empowers. Mm-hmm. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It comes to a point of surrender. Luke chapter 14 would be a good chapter for anybody to study who's serious about surrender. And do I love Him supremely? Is He Lord of all? And am I willing to leave all to follow? Because in three different times, He says, you cannot be my disciple. Mm-hmm. Not that you don't want to be, not that you haven't come forward at camp to be.
Right.
You can't be. Because I am not loved supremely, I am not Lord of all, and you're not willing to leave all to follow me. See, we've abandoned that message, we've softened it to a point where we say you can have best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So it becomes that point of surrender, and then we see the delight in doing what God gives the enabling for.
And I think that's a key word, because that word shows up in Romans 15 quite a bit. It's the word grace. And we typically think of grace as unmerited favor, and that is true. It is unmerited favor. But when you really read like a chapter like the one we're talking about here in Romans 15, it's way more than favor. It's actual enablement. It's empowerment.
Yeah, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am. I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me.
Mm-hmm.
I am what I am by the grace of God. Then he says, I work. He said, nobody works harder than I do.
Yeah.
So Paul wasn't just sitting saying, God is so gracious, His grace is abundant, and He is going to do what He wants to do. Therefore, I'm going to sit and stare at the Mediterranean. He said, I labor more abundantly than you all.
Listen to mood music.
Yeah, and yet not I, but the grace of God that is on me. And so that enabling grace that is there.
And I'm sure you've experienced some of that, John, that you never thought. I mean, just learning the language, for example. I mean, that would be terrifying to some of us to think about having to go to a culture at our stage in life and try to learn a language. I mean, we're still learning English.
And what happens is God just gives you such a love for it that while you're in it, it's not the huge insurmountable thing that you think that it is because of the grace that enables you to do it. And all of those things that as I look back, I scratch my head and I say, just I'm sure you can relate times in your life when you've been through things where you say, God's grace did that. Same thing as we even look back on this last term We have to just know that God's grace enabled us to do it.
You know, another thing in this chapter, Doc, that we see as we think about that enablement, John, that you were just talking about, Paul said, I have fully preached the gospel. He goes on in verse 20 to talk about striving to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named.
Mm-hmm.
And that really kind of sets the pioneer flavor and the vision for this, that he wanted to go where the gospel wasn't.
I think we see it's a priestly ministry. As you just pointed out, it is a powerful ministry, where you see that in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit, I have preached fully the gospel of Christ. So there was a full proclamation. Then after that power manifestation, it was a pioneering vision where he said, I have fully preached. It's a full proclamation. Then it's a pioneering focus where Christ was not named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. And then he goes on into his future plans. You can see where he's planning to go into Spain.
Yeah.
With the gospel. And whether Paul ever got that far before his martyrdom, we don't know how far Paul, at least I don't know how far Paul got. But we do know his vision never stopped. It was an expanding vision to go with the gospel.
And that's kind of what I've heard you talk about, John. I mean, you went out to Yap to help your brother. Then you go over to Palau and you start reaching Palauans, and now you're talking about some other islands out there where there are people that haven't heard.
We would love to see, as the Lord raises up leaders, them begin to start hungering to go into reach other parts of the world. And we're very close to many islands that are absolutely controlled and unable to hear the gospel. And we'd love to start bringing them in to experience that and then plug them in. And that's our prayer.
So maybe another way of saying it is you're not just looking for Palauan converts, you're looking for Palauan missionaries.
That's right. And the Lord has done unusual things where even a man from Bangladesh came to know Christ, and now he's back in Bangladesh where the gospel is not heard. And he is a living testimony with the word of God, and he's able to share Christ.
And, Doc, I know when you were in youth ministry, that was kind of your heart to put into the heart of those young people. And I think at one point, if I'm remembering correctly, you had almost 100 young people over the years of ministry that you were in that youth group that are all over the world now.
Yes. I think Dr. Rose and I sat down one day. We counted, and it was just over 100 that had come in that 10-year period of time. And probably in a broader sense in the 30-plus years that Pastor Rose was there. But we know in a 10-year period of time, around 100, maybe a little bit more than 100, who have, in salvation, surrender, trained, went to the world, classrooms. In fact, I was just at a conference, and a gal who was saved out of our bus ministry had just finished many years in Turkey. And she came up. She said, do you recognize me? I did right away, and that was many, many years. But the blessing is, and I remember landing in the Philippines, and the guy who picked us up, he showed, my grandson was with me, he said, this is what I looked like when I first met. He said, your dad, hair down on his shoulders. He was the leader of the peace movement on campus, but he had been training. Now he's in Vietnam, starting a training base in Vietnam, preaching now in the Vietnamese language. But these were unsaved people who God did a marvelous work.
And that's the offering of the Gentiles. It's really people who are being taken out of the kingdom of darkness, put into the kingdom of light, and being sent back into the kingdom of darkness to find more people to bring into light. And, you know, you start thinking about that, and it's pretty easy to get excited about this.
And then you see the power that is there and the pioneering vision, the full proclamation, very key. It's a full, I have fully proclaimed. It wasn't an almost message. I get itchy watching some TV program when a so-called great leader is being interviewed. He has an opportunity to fully proclaim the gospel. And he is almost implying sometimes that there may be other ways.
Yeah.
And I think, what a waste.
Mm-hmm.
What a waste. Because there is a lack of boldness. There is a fear of being ill-perceived when Christ needed to be fully proclaimed.
Yeah, two things happened when Paul fully preached the gospel. Number one, he got beat up and run out of town. And number two, people got saved, and they went everywhere preaching that same gospel.
And then when people saw the product, seven sons of Sceva said, hey, how can we get in on this?
Yeah.
And boy, they ended up in a less than ideal situation. Because it's not something can be imitated.
Right.
It has to be something inborn in by the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. For that time, it's when you saw Philip preaching there in Samaria. And we see Simon saying, boy, I want in on that. Can I buy some of that? I'm willing to pay for that power. It's not something that can be imitated or copied. It's the real thing that happens from inner conversion, the vision that is given from there.
Well, this chapter has been rich. We've talked here about the priestly ministry that Paul had, and we talked about the power that enabled that ministry to go forward to the uttermost parts of the earth. We talked about his pioneering vision, and even just a moment ago as we were talking about him fully preaching. But as we wrap up the series, it's interesting how he ends in this chapter where he starts talking to the church at Rome about partnering with him. There is a specific partnership that they have with him in this ministry as he's thinking about going to Spain. And he's basically saying, hey, I want to come, and I want you to help me get to Spain and partner with me to take this gospel that came to you to Spain. And the particular thing that he asks them for in this partnership is prayer. And that's an interesting thing to me, Doc, that he would really, we always talk about praying for missionaries, but really, this is big for Paul in this chapter.
Well, read verse 30 and emphasize that a little bit. The one key word in there that we overlook.
Basically, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together. And that's, I think, the word you're talking about. That you agonize together with me in your prayers to God for me. And then in verses 31 and following, he talks about what he's asking him to pray for. That he would be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. That his service, which I have for the Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and by you be refreshed.
A.T. Pearson said, every step in the progress of missions is directly traceable to prayer. It has been the preparation for every new triumph and the secret for all success. And I'm convinced that is why God is working in Palau, because God's people are praying.
Well, if you're listening to the broadcast, I hope your heart has been challenged. So three simple things. Pray for the success of their ministry, for the safety of their family, and for the sending of more missionaries to them so that they may have satisfaction and spiritual maturity in their converts. Simple ways to pray. May the Lord bless you.